Take your Bibles tonight and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I don't know if you've ever seen a snake with a bruised head. We used to do it all the time on the farm, man. You'd just whack their heads a couple times. Now, they'd flip around like they were more alive than ever. But they were dying. They were dying. You even cut a snake's head off, and that thing will flip around like it's more alive than it's ever been. But they're dying. And sometimes it seems as we look at this world, the devil's more alive than he's ever been before. But remember, the devil had his head crushed back at Calvary when the Lord got the victory. And so hang in there. We got a little ways to go yet before our Lord comes, maybe. And things might get worse, but Jesus secured the victory for us once and for all. It is finished. Amen. John 3:16, we're going to look at that tonight as I want to speak on the subject of when God gave up his son. When God gave up his son. John 3:16, and if you can, read it with me out loud. Ready? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's not only the most well-known verse in all of Scripture, that's the most well-known verse in all of literature. Of all of human literature that's ever been written, that's the most known verse. Even unbelievers can quote that. I could quote that before I was saved. But notice in there, it says, for God so loved the world, and here's the phrase I want to look at, that he gave his only begotten son. That he gave his only begotten son. When God gave up his son, he gave his only begotten son. That word begotten means that he was born of a virgin. Jesus Christ was the virgin-born son of God. That word begotten is very important. It should be in our New Testament four times. But the new translations are deleting the word begotten. And they are saying, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son. No, Jesus is not his only son. I'm his son. The Bible says, now are ye the sons of God that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is his only begotten son, the only one born of God by the seed of God of a virgin named Mary. That word begotten is very important. But it says here, he gave his only begotten son. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 10. That's way back by Revelation, one of the last books in the Bible. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 10 says, he that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his son. God gave of his son. We got to keep that in mind, too. I know the gospel is, you know, how Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again. But we got to remember before that, God made a decision, God the Father, and that was to give up his son for us. Many, many years ago, a church advertised in a newspaper that for a Sunday evening service, they actually put this in the newspaper, for the Sunday evening service, that a missionary that they had supported for a long time would be back in the States and would report on his work on the missions field that he had done with the Lord's help over the last 40 years. And that the general public was encouraged to come out and to hear this missionary give his report. There was a particular skeptic in that town, and he read that article in the newspaper, and his curiosity got the best of him, as he said, what in the world would possess anybody to leave the United States of America and go to a third world country and spend 40 years there leaving everything America has to offer and go and serve in those poor people. And his curiosity got the best of him that he went to church that night. He actually went to church. That night there was a large congregation of churchgoers who had come out to hear the report from the missionary and to support him and encourage him and thank him for what he had done for our Lord. Besides the large group of churchgoers, there was, of course, the missionary and the pastor and the skeptic. And in the back seat, there was this very old man who was sitting in the back by himself. The missionary got up, and he began to report on all of the wonderful, wonderful things that they, as a team over there, were able to accomplish. He talked about all of the medical clinics that they had conducted and had helped in the healing of the sick. He talked about the food pantries and the food and clothing distribution to those many people who didn't have clothes, and thanked the congregation for supporting him so that he could get food to these hungry people and clothing and drink and clean water to these people. And he talked about the ministries that had been started, how churches had been planted all over that nation, and how Bible colleges had been started, and how an innumerable number of those poor people had come to know and to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. It was a wonderful, wonderful report, and everybody was rejoicing in it. And as he was preaching along that Sunday evening, he told a story that did not seem to relate one bit to what he was saying about the mission field and his service over there for 40 years. And he told a story, and he said, you know, one day a man who had a son, he had only one son, he was a little boy, about 8 years of age, and he loved his boy so much. As you can imagine, some of you maybe have a son, and how much you love your son. My son's here. I only have one son. And he loved his son so much. And while his boy was growing up at a very young age, the father was able to lead his boy to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, and his son became a believer in the Lord. The activity that they liked the most was to go fishing together, and they would often go out on a boat way out on the lake and fish, and the boy was learning how to be a good fisherman when he was just a little chap. They also were burdened for souls, like Pastor preached this morning, didn't he? Amen. He was almost begging us, more than preaching, to tell others about Jesus Christ while we have the chance. It was great. Good message, and it stirred me up some, and I hope it stirred you up some too, to be on the lookout for people. And I was talking to a fellow at the gas station yesterday and gave him a gospel tract. I said, I wrote this. And I said, it's the greatest thing I ever learned in my whole life, and I hope you'll take time and read it. He had to go and didn't get too far with him, but I hope we're trying to tell people about Christ everywhere we go. And they work together as a father and a little son, hoping to win others to the Lord Jesus. There was a neighbor boy that lived just a few houses away that didn't have a father. He was being brought up by a single mom, and the son suggested, and the father agreed, that, hey, maybe we could try to win him to the Lord so he'll at least have a heavenly father. Amen. And so they talked to his mother about them maybe taking him out fishing. Maybe they could learn how to fish. And boy, that boy was just so excited. He'd never been fishing in his life, and he didn't have a dad. And so the day came, and they got their fishing poles and their tackle box, and they went down to the lake to the little boat, the little craft they had. And the three of them in the boat, and they went out way out into the lake where the fishing was good. And they began to try to catch some fish. Unbeknownst to them, like Lake Erie, this was a very, very shallow lake. And as you know, around here, whenever a little bit of wind kicks up, Lake Erie becomes treacherous, dangerous. A lot of boats have sunk in Lake Erie over the years. It's only 200 feet deep. And when they were way out in the lake, all of a sudden this storm came up that they did not expect. They didn't expect this at all. The Father, he would not have done this if he knew. And pretty soon the storm got worse and worse and worse, and the Father realized the danger that they were in, and he began to oar for the shore as hard, as fast as he possibly could. The little vessel began to take on water, and pretty soon it was evident that they weren't going to make it all the way to the shore. And as the little boat began to sink, he said to the boys, "Boys, you're going to have to do your best, but you got to swim for the shore. Swim for the shore. Go with all your might. Try to swim for the shore." And he began to swim for the shore. He was a good swimmer, but he realized that his son and the other boy were struggling tremendously there in the lake. It looked like they weren't going to make it. And the father had to make a decision. He realized that he was going to have to try to save these boys, but he could only save one of them. And it took him only a split second to make the most excruciating decision that he ever made in his life. He saw his son struggling, about ready to go down, but he knew somehow in his heart, because of their faith in Jesus Christ, that no matter what happened that day, he would see his boy again someday in heaven. Just like David back in the Old Testament when his little infant son died, who was 7 days old. And David said to his counselors when he finally died, he said, "You know, I can never bring my son back to me, but I will go to him someday. I will go to him someday." And David said, "I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And in just a second, he made the decision to give up his own son. And he grabbed the neighbor boy, and he brought the neighbor boy safely to the shore. And he turned around just in time to see his son go down for the last time. And his son perished that day and drowned in the lake. The missionary then took that story, and he began to relate it to the story in the Bible when God chose to save us over his own son. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not." See, God, we have to remember, yes, Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith, but we have to remember God had to give up his Son to go to the cross for us. And the missionary concluded with that, and he asked people to bow their heads and close their eyes, and if they had never trusted in Christ, to realize that story illustrates the great love that a father had to have to save that neighbor boy. And they prayed, and I believe some made decisions for Christ that night and believed on the Lord as he compared that true life story to the gospel story. He concluded the sermon and prayed and dismissed the congregation. And as soon as the congregation was dismissed, the skeptic made a beeline for the missionary. The skeptic said to the missionary, that was a nice presentation, everything you've done and everything, and that story you told at the end, that was really nice, but that can't possibly be true." He said, "There's no father on earth that would do what that father did in that story. You're making that up." And the missionary said, "No, sir, I'm not making that up. I was that neighbor boy. And that old man in the back was the father of that other boy who saved my life that day." The skeptic didn't know what to say. He left the missionary, went back to the old man. He said, "I got to ask you a question. Please be honest with me. Is it true? Is that story true? Did you give up your son to save that man that spoke to us this evening?" And the old man's eyes filled with tears. And he began to cry and say, "Yes. Yes, I had to make a decision. Would I save my son and let that boy perish and perhaps perish forever? Or could I give up my son so that this boy would have a chance to be saved? The skeptic couldn't believe what he was hearing, and the old man went on to explain, I saved that neighbor boy. And a little while later, the Holy Spirit helped him to understand that God once did the same thing for his soul when God gave up his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, so that he could be saved. And he trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. And to this day, I thank God for the sacrifice of my son, because if it hadn't been for the sacrifice of my son, that man would not have ended up going to the foreign field to a poor nation and reach an innumerable number of souls for Jesus Christ with the gospel, because he not only was saved from the water, he was saved from his sins, and he fell in love with the Lord so much he was willing to do anything the Lord asked him to do. And you know, that skeptic that night, for the first time ever in his life, actually saw. He saw the love of God illustrated to him in truth. And that old man had the privilege of kneeling down with him in the back and praying. And God opened his heart and opened his understanding and opened the scriptures to that skeptic. And that skeptic, that night, on his knees with that old man, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and was wonderfully, wonderfully saved. That little illustration shows us a little bit about the love of God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. He gave up his son. He could have chose his son and let us all perish, and he would have been perfectly righteous to do that. He would have been completely justified to do that, to save his son and give us all up and give us no hope. But he gave up his son, and he sent his son to be the Savior of the world. And you and I tonight have had so many opportunities, and maybe even tonight just for a moment. Perhaps you're here on a Sunday night, and I don't know all of your hearts. Only God knows your heart. But maybe there's a time where that story, the greatest story, the love story ever told of God giving up his son, for God so loved the world. That word world means you. As an individual, that means me. When Jesus died on the cross, it says in Hebrews 2 and verse 9, he tasted death for every man. That word man refers to mankind. That means every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, Jesus Christ died, not just generally for the whole world, but specifically for you. And specifically for me. I don't know, he has an infinite mind, but somehow I came into his mind that moment, I believe, when he was on the cross. And he tasted death for me. When was the last time someone died for you? When was the last time someone thought you so important that they were willing to die for you and did die for you? Jesus Christ died for you. Paul said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Through him. You know, the Lord says once in a while there's this really super brave soldier. I went down one time. They have all the Medal of Honor recipients on the internet. Most Medal of Honor recipients die or are given the Medal of Honor posthumously after they have died. There's only 62 alive in our country today, Medal of Honor recipients, but there's hundreds and hundreds. And you can read the specific stories of their bravery in the military. And I can't tell you how many times, if you'll read their stories, it will talk about one man jumping on a live grenade to save his platoon or others that were in a bunker with him, and how they would be just blown to bits, and they just made a split decision that they'd give up their life for others. And posthumously, after their death, that means they would receive the Medal of Honor. That's what the Bible's saying here. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Somebody might die for somebody who's righteous, some really good person. Peradventure, for a good man, somebody even dare to die. Maybe a secret service agent might dare to die for a president or something. But we only die for the righteous, or we only die for the good, or we only die for our personal family members. But Jesus died for the worst of sinners. But God commendeth his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, sinners. God didn't die for me because he said, hey, that guy's going to be a pastor someday. No, he died for me because I was a sinner who needed a Savior. That's why he died for me. I was a sinner who needed a Savior. Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and received him as your Savior? I'm going to ask us to bow our heads and close our eyes in a word of prayer. The Bible goes on to say that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you from the heart, you little boys and girls that are here, have you from the heart, ever believed on the Lord Jesus Christ and said, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Would you please save me? And how about you adults? How about you senior citizens? It's not too late, senior citizen. Friend, it's not too late for you to call upon the Lord and to be saved. Are you absolutely sure? Are you absolutely sure Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, as we have just an invitation prayer, as we often do. And one day when I was 12 years old, a pastor prayed a prayer from the pulpit. There's no magic prayers. But he said, if you'll really believe and receive Christ, as it says in John 1 and verse 12, he will save you this morning. And I really believed that day when I was a 12-year-old sinner. And I received Christ and said, Lord Jesus, save me. Please save me. And I walked into that church when I was 12 years old as an unsaved sinner. And I walked out saved by the blood of the crucified one. God gave me eternal life. And man, that was 55 years ago. And I just thank him for it every day. Can't get over it. Now, how about you? Where you're sitting, if you've never received the Lord as your Savior, would you believe tonight and would you receive Christ? If so, just as though God were the only one here, just block out everything else and speak directly to God. And maybe you could say something like this, Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for giving up your Son for me. To save me. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you also for giving up your life to go all the way to the cross and taste death for me in my place. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I accept you tonight as my Savior. Please give me the gift of eternal life. Have mercy on me. Forgive me. Save me. I believe in you with all my heart. Now, as our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, no one's looking around, I'm not going to approach you or anything afterwards unless you want to talk to me. That'd be great. Or talk to Pastor Seth, Pastor Barron. But no matter what your age, boys, girls, adults, senior citizens, even if you've come to this church for 20 years, that doesn't mean you're saved. But maybe tonight you settled it and God knows you meant it and you were serious. Could you just raise your hand and say, God knows my heart. Tonight I've accepted the Lord as my Savior. Yes, yes. God bless you. Amen. Yes, you too. Yes, amen. That's wonderful. Is there anyone else? Raise your hand right. God bless you, little children. You said, with your sweet spirit, that's great. And adults tonight, anyone else? Our Heavenly Father, bless now the rest of our service, this important holy moment in these seven people's lives who follow you, follow the very example Jesus set in baptism. And thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. There's things you want us to do after we're saved, and this is one. And we just pray you'd bless this holy, sacred moment in their lives. And thank you for us to be able to be in the house of the Lord tonight to witness this, their outward confession of their inward faith in Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to take our hymn books now and turn to page 129. And if anybody has a baby in the nursery, if you could go immediately and get your baby out of the nursery right now. If there's anybody, they are going to be using the nursery to change tonight. And so there may only be one. Is there anyone with a baby in the nursery? Go right now. All right. Then at this time, we're going to have all the ladies and men who are going to be baptized to go right out here. Back to the men's room, the ladies' room, or you ladies can also use the nursery for changing. Make sure the blinds are down and the doors closed. We appreciate that. But all those that are going to be baptized and those that are helping, Pastor Barron, Mrs. Barron, will be going back. And let us stand while they're getting ready. It takes a little bit to get ready. We'll be singing page 129, a great Easter song, great song all year long. But if you could stand with me, stretch a little bit here. At the cross, if you want to come and pray about anything, God's house is a house of prayer. You feel free to come.